Yeah. Yeah. And no one like me. Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
And welcome back to the Very Special Show. A very special guest is Bob Stevens from ph10.co.nz. Bob, welcome to the program.
Thanks, Vinny. Nice to be invited to talk, and nice to be able to talk to your listeners as well.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, water is basically essential for life, and the company that you've founded here, PH10, sells some ridiculously good, tasty water, which is also very high in alkalinity. Could you kind of explain, you know, how you came about this?
Well, it's the basis for life. You know, I believe that oxygen, water is first, oxygen, very important, and we've got to get back to basics, Vinny. So many people are drinking water which is not doing them any good. In fact, it's making them sick. This water is from 230 metres subterranean from our farm in Waimalku, which is northwest of Auckland, New Zealand. And our naturopath, Kirsten Taylor, well-respected, one of the best naturopaths in New Zealand probably, from Ponsonby, I can quote her in saying it's the best water on the planet. That's what she believes.
Well, that sounds very good,
good recommendation.
Yeah. Well, there we go. Best water on the planet. Okay. Yeah. How is that? I mean, what's the difference between this water and other water?
Well, it's running over sandstone and limestone, Vinny. Therefore, it's got a very high pH. Hence, we named it pH 10. Latest report, I've got the analysis here showing the minerals and the pH level at exactly 9.8, pH 9.8. Our body runs at 7.35 to 7.45 in our bloodstream, and it's important that you alkalize your body. You're born alkaline, and so many people die acidic in old folks' homes. And it's just a lack of water and a lack of good drinking water. With your tank water, it's a bit dicey because unless you change that filter cartridge very regularly, every 6 months, say, or 3 months is better, scrub that tank, empty it, and scrub it every year, then you're okay. With your tap water, I'd just like to read you a few of the bits and pieces that can be found in tap water shortly. And I'm not saying it's in all tap water, but certainly in some tap water. Overseas, of course, there's recycled sewage. I don't think we're doing that yet here in New Zealand, but there's all sorts of things get into the tap water, and I'll find that shortly and read it to you. So we think it's the best alternative. It's safe water. It hasn't got the chlorine, hasn't got the fluoride in it that you'll find in tap water. It hasn't got the animal excretia and bird excretia that you find in tank water. So it's just really, really healthy for you. It will actually re-alkalize your body. One of my clients, it took him 2 or 3 months, and he was able to drink about a gallon a day, just take medical advice. If your ankles swell, you're drinking too much, but some people can drink up to a gallon a day to re-alkalize their body. You can test your pH level with the strips. I just gave you a couple of little litmus paper strips you can get from your health shop, and test your saliva and just make sure that you've had nothing to eat or drink for a couple of hours, and test your saliva and just it'll give you an idea. You should be around the 7, around the neutral, because the scale is 0 to 14, as most people know, with 7 being neutral in the middle. So 9.8 is very, very high. And as a matter of fact, I just checked it out, and the miracle water of Lourdes in France, for instance, is pH 9.5. Now, pH 10, my product, is pH 9.8. Well, I think it's a real miracle. It's a blessing that we've got this water.
Mm-mm-mm. Now, you know, water is absolutely essential for life, and we had a guest on the show named Lauren Lockman, has been doing what do you call fasting, you know, where you basically drink nothing but water. And what he found is that despite the body's need to be about 70% water, he found that a lot of people coming in to do fasting were coming in with only about 50% water.
Oh, that'd be right. Here's a statistic that bears repeating, that 7 out of 10, 70% of people are walking around permanently, seriously dehydrated at any given time. So 70% of you, are you one of the 7? 70% out of 10, walking around permanently, seriously dehydrated. We seem to have lost that impetus for thirst, Vinny. You know, that's what it is, I think. That's all I can put it down to. The water itself is odorless, colourless, and tasteless, unless you've got a bit of a connoisseur taste for it when you're comparing water and you're in the business like myself. But there's so many other drinks out there, I suppose, that are tasty and they've got this and that and caffeine and all sorts of stuff and in it that you don't need. Get back to basics, drink more water. You should be drinking, and here's the way of working it out, 30 mil per kg of body weight sipped throughout the day. So in other words, don't get to the end of the day and you're a litre down, don't scull it. You know, I think just sip it through the day, sip it at night, have a glass of water by the bedside. But 30 mil of excellent drinking water per kg of body weight is a good rule of thumb.
Mm-hmm. Now, when you're dehydrated, of course, people stop being able to have the ability to process things properly in their brains, and they often get a lot of health disabilities and things of this nature, including increasing the signs of aging itself. And obviously, your water is a lot more advanced, as far as I'm concerned, towards a lot of others. But what are the health benefits? Because most people are really unaware of the direct health benefits of just drinking good water.
Well, that's right, Vinny. It's so basic that we think, hey, it can't be right, but it is right. Try it. Try it even if you do a three-month trial. Just try increasing your water intake. You'll find you'll be feeling better. Now, a lot of the symptoms of dehydration are the basic ones, such as a dry cough, pins and needles. We've all had pins and needles in the extremities of the fingers or the feet. And those sorts of things, and lots of incidentals can be cured and or alleviated to some extent just by increasing your intake of water. These are all signs of dehydration. And a book I must recommend, and I don't ask me to spell this gentleman's name, but Your Body's Many Cries for Water. I think it's Dr. F. Batman Benji. Batman is the first part of his name, and something like Benji after that. But Your Body's Many Cries for Water is such a good book. This gentleman was the prison doctor. I think it was in Iran with the new regime there. They put him in prison, and he had all these medical centers, and they took over his medical centers. Now, he was the camp doctor, and they had plenty of good drinking water, but not much food, you know. But he found that all the inmates, in drinking more than they had been, suddenly the asthma cleared up. Suddenly the coughing stopped, and all the ills and chills just faded away, simply because they were drinking their share of water. And I mean, the average person might be it's 30 mil per kg of body weight, might equate to, in my case, you know, it's 2.5 liters a day, so it's quite attainable.
Well, the thing is, with water, a lot of people just really don't understand the actual importance of drinking it. And with the, well, literal plethora, I think, of bottled water products and all of this other sugary drinks and that sort of nature, aren't they actually inherently, for the most part, all these flavored whatsoever beverages that we've got these days, they're inherently dehydrating in themselves. So, interestingly enough, the thing that's advertised that people do to quench their thirst actually dehydrates them.
Well, especially if you're talking a beer on a hot day, Vinny, or any of your diuretics, your tea, coffee, alcohol, beer, wine, etc. Those diuretics are not counted, I should have pointed out, in that 2.5 litres a day that you should be drinking, depending on your body weight. So the diuretics, you're right, they don't count, go straight through you. If I could just mention here, you're going to balance your body pH if you drink the pH 10 or a very high alkaline water. You can get a similar effect by putting a teaspoon of baking soda in each glass of water you drink. That will increase the pH, but it's not quite as good as this natural one that I've got in bottles. If you're in Auckland, do look us up on or call us pH 10, 0800 pH 10, which is 0800 74 1010. We'll have a look at our website, as Vinny mentioned, www.ph10.co.nz. But we're talking about the, you know, being 70% water. That's an average. You know, a fetus might be 95%. An old person in an old folks' home who's maybe got Alzheimer's forgets to drink, nurses don't prompt them, might be 50% water. So you've really got to get up to that 70% water and drink your share. The pH 10 helps balance the body pH, obviously rehydrate you. As I mentioned, 70% of people are walking around dehydrated. And this is one of the planet's best waters, if not the best. No chlorine or fluoride, unlike tap water. No giardia or animal excretia like a lot of tank water has. And, of course, you can get the often fatal Legionnaire's disease and other nasty diseases if you're drinking tank water or in some places tap water that hasn't been treated well. I mean, we have little cities here in councils in New Zealand where the water's not that great. Helensville springs to mind. It comes out of the tap looking like iced tea. You know, it's just not great at all. You have to be drinking bottled water in these areas. Our water's high in oxygen and rich in minerals, unlike distilled waters and RO waters. I can just take a moment to tell you about distilled waters and reverse osmosis or RO waters. These are the waters that many other water companies deliver in, say, the 15-litre water bottles, go on top of the cooler. And both processes filter the water down or distill the water so you end up with pure molecules of H2O. You don't want to be drinking that, I don't think, because it's got no minerals left in it. What you're going to do in this case is leach and excrete the minerals that you already have in your body. So it's not a great water. RO and distilled, not great at all. You've got to go for something like pH 10, which is natural, flowing over the sandstone, limestone, and all the minerals in it.
Now, one thing that I wanted to ask you about was about general water quality. I mean, how is our drinking water in this day and age that coming into our municipal water supply? I mean, just say here in Auckland, I mean, what kind of contaminants and things of that nature can we really expect from our so-called treated water?
Oh, well, you're going to be a bit surprised. Have a seat if you're not sitting down. I'll mention a few. What can be found in tap water: recycled sewage, silt, slime, sludge, algae, rust, mould, dirt, rotting vegetation, corroded pipe linings. And I'm still going. There's about 22 that I've got here. Now, that's under visible matter. Now, living organisms, bacteria, parasites, giardia, was the one I was wondering about earlier, the giardia you can get from the tank water, viruses, fungi, cryptosporidium. And then we've got smelly organic matter, chlorine, chloramide, pesticides, ammonia, chloroform, and herbicides. I think we were talking a little bit earlier, Vinny, about the fact that estrogen and all other sorts of pills are getting into the water supply, and it's having a bad effect on, you know, they say this might be the earlier onset of puberty and happening in the girls, etc., feminization of the boys. It's just not good that that's getting into our drinking water.
Mm-hmm. Well, the similar stories have come out of the UK where they found traces of Prozac and lithium and things like that in the water. Now, they've theorized that it has been the runoff from sewage systems where people will be, you know, excreting the excesses through the urine and such, and then it winds up back in the urine supply because the molecules of these drugs can't be filtered out. And another story, which I found was even more funny, was in Italy somewhere, I forget, it might have been Sicily, where they had trace amounts of cocaine in the water, which I thought was pretty amusing. Apparently, in an effort to, you know, not get busted and things of this nature, you know, certain drug dealers will flush cocaine down the toilet as they're getting out. So much cocaine was being flushed down the toilet that now there's trace amounts in the whole water supply.
Oh, no. Amazing. If I just touch on the temperature of water that you drink. I know we're having slightly chilled pH 10 at the moment, Vinny, but, you know, it may be 8 degrees in the fridge or thereabouts out of the cooler. Your body's about 37 degrees, and your body has to work a bit harder just to warm that water up. So it's a bit of a fallacy that you should be drinking chilled water, although we're all brainwashed to this effect. You go into a dairy or a convenience store and it's in the fridge. Try drinking it ambient just for a change. We've got a 20 litre we deliver to homes. It's only $15 for the contents. And I know you drink out of those beautiful grade 7 containers, Vinny, with the tap. And that's the way to drink it. I mean, if it's hot as it is now in Auckland, With a summer's day, you can put a jar in the fridge, you know, put some of the water in the fridge and cool it down. And that. But as I say, the body has to work harder. So try drinking it ambient. And it's like giving up, milk or tea in your sugar in your tea. You can do it. I'm probably giving up smoking. It might be a bit harder, but people are trying at the moment. But that's the other thing where the pH 10 will help you. It'll be a bit of a trap. It allows me to drink a bottle of red wine and no after effects, because I'll have that same 750 mil of pH 10 after the red wine, and it neutralizes it. That's my theory, and never have a hangover again. So it's a way of recovering quicker from illness, some illnesses, and just upset tummy, and, of course, avoiding hangovers. Marvellous, marvellous water.
Yeah, so especially if you're a student out there. And what I find interesting is that you've got put a little pH graph here on the side of the water bottle. You know, pH 1, battery acid, pH 2, soft drinks, pH 3, vinegar, pH 4 is beer and wine, body 7, this water's 10. So, you know, the interesting thing is you have a look at these high pHs and it's like, wow, man, what is happening really to the human body with the consumption of our current, you know, food supply and all of that, is it's basically just a whole bunch of acidic poisons that give you cancer.
Well, yes, I can't promise to cure cancer. No one can. So I always start off saying that. But I believe this water is protecting me. It really is, because, I mean, here's another one you can Google, apart from Your Body's Many Cries for Water, excellent book. You can Google that one. Another good one you can Google is Dr. Otto Warburg. Okay, in 1931, he won the Nobel Prize in Physiology, and his hypothesis on cancer, I think, was bang on, and he believes it's the fermentation of sugar in the cells, and he found in the laboratory that the cells multiplied and grew really quickly at around the 5.5, which is, you know, most cancer patients probably have a pH of around 5.5, quite acidic body condition. Yet at pH 8.5, those same cells were killed.
And we're back. We had that wonderful little interview yesterday, and Bob was so nice as to give me a whole bunch of little water bottles, which was very quite nice, and very much appreciative to him. In the next segment, we'll conduct the second part of that interview with Bob, who's, you know, basically what I find really interesting is that there's a lot of truthers out there who are older, you know, and they've been in the pseudo truth movement for some time, and now it's the young people start for a voice. You're listening to the Vinnie Eastwood Show. The number to call in is 402-237-2525. We'll be right back. United we stand, and divided we fall. Unity, please don't desert me. So sugar itself is acidic for the body?
Yeah, too much sugar in the cells. That's one of the causes, according to Warburg. Yeah.
Well, that's very interesting. I mean, like, look, the health problems that we have in our country, I mean, are absolutely phenomenal. We've got huge rates of cancer, huge rates of asthma, huge rates of this, that, and the other, mental problems, heart defects, you know. It's like health itself is under threat in its totality. And in my opinion, diet has probably one of the largest roles to play in this, because we basically live in a toxic diet environment where almost we're given a million choices, but only one or two out of those million choices is good for you.
Unfortunately. Yes. You know, you're right, Vinny. You've got to get back to basics, and I'm offering people in Auckland anyway, folk here, the chance of drinking the best water available. With the pH 10 brand. Apart from that, it's exercise and diet. You know, it's what we eat. The fruit and vegetables are so important. I still like red meat in moderation. The odd barbecue can't be bad for you, as long as you're drinking that excellent pH 10 water.
And also, one thing I was wondering about was the general water supply. right? Okay, so we've got these possible contaminants in them, and we also have deliberate contaminants, like, for example, chlorine used to clean the water. You don't drink your pool water, do you, ladies and gentlemen? But you do, but you do drink the chlorinated tap water, don't you? You dumb asses.
You're getting real, Vinny. It's a bleach, and it's a strong bleach. And, okay, it'll kill some bad bugs, but it's indiscriminate. It'll kill good bugs too. And
is it good for your teeth because the bleach is in my mouth?
No, what they're trying to brainwash us and tell us is that fluoride, which is this powder that they've got as a byproduct of aluminium smelting, and what do we do with it? We've got mountains of this stuff. I know, we'll sell it to the councils and the government and tell everyone it's good for teeth. And that's what they've done with fluoride, and it's a crock. You know, it's not good. During the wartime, the Germans and the Russians used it to dumb down the population of their prisoner of war camps, you know, and they found they could halve the number of guards that were needed.
Yeah. Well, actually, they could get rid of three-quarters of the guards. It was an incredibly effective one, which is why it's used as a binding agent in psychotropic medications like Prozac and things of that nature. But it's also quite a virulent poison, which is also why it's used as a binding agent in rat poison. So I always use the analogy, if you went down to, say, the Auckland City Reservoir, you know, just down there, and saw this guy in a nice suit just sitting there with these two sacks, one that says Prozac on it and one that says rat poison, and he's dumping them into the water supply. You walk up to him and you tap him on the shoulder and you say, "Mate, what the hell are you doing?" And, and he says, "No, don't worry, it's good for the teeth. Look, I've got these studies that prove it."
Oh dear, it's no laughing matter when you think about it.
Yeah, well, we do try to laugh on the show because it's the lighter side of genocide, isn't it?
Well, next you're going to say you're going to die of something, but
oh yeah, and that's the thing, we've got these relativist writers that they think, oh well, you know, everything's poisonous, and it's just like, instead of doing something about it, they accept it and then die of the poisons.
I think so. So anyway, there's an alternative for people in Auckland. It's such a heavy product to ship that we're going to go worldwide with it. We've sent the first 20-footer container to Republic of Korea. It's been very well received over there. And we're dealing with possible licensees in the USA and China. I'd like Kiwis to, that's New Zealanders, to drink a lot more of this pH-10, but not averse to exporting too. If you're an entrepreneur and you're in the water business, get in touch.
And also, what kind of supply problems are you having? I mean, you're a small operation here, and you had somewhat of difficulty with, you know, you can't supply like the whole country or anything like that because there's just not enough. I mean, what are your limits here?
It's going to be limited, Vinny. At the moment, we've got consent through the council for 26 million litres per annum. It's the daily flow underneath is 250,000 litres, and they're conservative. They take about 70% of that. They've given us 100,000 litres a day consent at the moment. We're using nothing like that, although we've just installed a $250,000 bottling machine that can do 6,000 of these little 750ml bottles an hour, for instance. 500ml, we're going to do 350 and 1.5 litre. We can apply and get a 50% increase to take it to 150,000 litres a day. We have ways of increasing it too by purchasing probably some from our neighbour. 50 million litres per annum, I think, will be our limit. Be a nice problem to have if we were bottling that much, but one day we might get to that. But at this stage, it is limited, and I just wish there was more of it. It's just such a good water to drink.
Mm-mm. Well, it's the thing about specialty items and quality. You'll find out that they'll usually be quite rare and difficult to get a hold of, or that, something of that nature, right? Yeah. But if you're selling crapola that's like a level 6 toxin like Coca-Cola, you get all you want.
Well, I was going to say, I did test a I was going to be a bit kinder than you, Vinny. I tested a cola, and it came out at pH 1.6, although I think they claim 2.5 or something, but thereabouts. But it was actually 1.6, which isn't far above that battery acid that's in your car and what have you. Everyone knows it'll rust nails and tip it over a steak in the fridge in a Tupperware and come back a couple of weeks, it's gone. It's no steak. The thing is, when you add anything to water, I mean, that's a drink with the caffeine and sugar and everything that's bad for you. Don't get me on to I nearly said a word.
the Coke Zero. The zero nutritional value, zero.
Not only that, didn't it cause brain tumors in the rats when they tested the stuff?
Not according to Donald Rumsfeld.
He owned the company, I think.
Yeah, exactly. A conflict of interest there. What else is new?
But he wouldn't catch me drinking that. But when you add anything to water, people say to me, why do you do a sparkling? Well, why the heck would I want to inject carbon? It's a byproduct, isn't it? Carbon bubbles into the water. We're just leaving it the way it is. But when you put lemon flavouring, raspberry flavouring, anything into water, it turns the water acidic, I'm afraid. So the best way to have the water is just the way it is out of the ground, although we do, like most bottlers, filter, ozonate and UV treat. That's the way to go. In Korea, my agent over there said, they've already got a 9.8, pH 9.8. They did some lab tests and they found that you take the lid off the 9.8, which has been artificially increased in pH, and it drops straight away when it hits the air, whereas ours, they couldn't believe it. It just didn't lose its pH. Mm. Yeah.
Now, you say you ozonate the water?
That's the usual process that bottlers use, Vinny. It's adding oxygen. This helps the water, of course, especially when you're sending a 20-foot container across the equator. It's a really hot environment in a 20-footer. You don't want the water to turn. You don't want it to turn green. So that's why we UV treat and ozonate, as well as filter down to about 1 micron.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, specifically the properties of oxygen in the water, I mean, that just kind of makes sure that bugs can't grow in it, that kind of thing?
Well, that's right. They latch on to the molecule of oxygen, latches onto the bug, and it's dead. Yeah. You need a lot of oxygen to breathe, and you need it in your water. Now, the interesting thing with our water, we had one customer, I think it was a circus, got about 60 of those big containers off us and left in the sun when they were told not to. We replaced the water because it turned green. We had it tested. Now, the green was caused by a member of the spirulina family and it's very good for you, but it doesn't look great, so we just replaced it.
So you had scary green, naturally spirulina water. Yeah, 20 of them, 20 of the big cans sitting there. Oh, that's rough.
It doesn't look so good, so we just gave them fresh stuff.
Yeah. Well, you know, you people are picky these days. You know, it's perfectly okay to have Prozac and rat poison in your water, but mate, if your water goes all spirulinary, mate, that's just cause for alarm.
I could have told them it was health, good for their health and their teeth.
Yeah. and they would have questioned you, and you say, "Come on, mate, I've got heaps of paid lab test assistants to prove otherwise."
Black as white. Yeah.
Black as white. Acidic as alkaline. Poison is nutrition. Welcome to the new frickin' world order, you know. Now, in terms of, you know, your personal politics, I mean, you're kind of a lot on my side of the fence, you know, with the new world order trying to kill off everybody and this sort of nature. And has this contributed in some way to your sort of carte blanche love of your water, mate?
Oh, that's right. I mean, you've got the best at your doorstep. I mean, myself and my ex-business partner, we searched the world and checked 2,000 water sources out because we want to sell the best water available. And here it was on our back doorstep virtually in northwest Auckland. So we were just so wrapped. It's a lot less distance to truck the water when you find it on your doorstep. But, I love the opportunity of introducing people to it, getting new customers. I bought a couple of container loads of water coolers in and I give them away, you know, I lend them as long as they're using our water on top. Yeah. And the 20 litre with a tap, as I say, is real good for the ambient use. And then we do the 750 ml sippers, 500 flat tops, and adding to the range from there.
Mm-hmm. And lastly, have you had any opposition or difficulty with your business from, say, I don't know, poison manufacturers saying, "Hey, you can't give people healthy stuff; that's not good for them."
I've had a few naysayers, but you just show them your or email them your latest lab report, and it can't be refuted. You know, three independent labs show that it's got the minerals, show that it's very, very high pH at 9.8 exactly. And in the shop, I've got a pH pen and dip it in the water and show people straight away. You dip it in the tap water and, of course, it's acidic, 6.5 where I am. And you've got the litmus paper test too, which is not quite as accurate as the down to two decimal points on the pen, but is an indication, especially if you're testing your saliva. But, yeah, and in fact, when I mentioned an ex-business partner, that particular gentleman used to work for one of their big other, soft drink companies. And
surprise.
And I just wondered why I wasn't going ahead, at that time, and everything was being given away. And there's been a few stumbling blocks putting away, that's for sure.
Well, I'd like to thank you very much, Bob Stevens, the founder of ph10.co.nz, for coming on the show today. And definitely we'll have you on again sometime, mate.
Terrific. Thanks, Vinny. Thanks for the opportunity. And to all your listeners, drink more water, please.
Yeah.
Especially pH10.
Yeah, slurp up that pH10, just like I do it at home. And what I find interesting about water is that... Well, more or less, it's the essential of life, right? And people have now begun to value water so little as if it's taken for granted when, large civilizations have died for lack of water, There's there's ruins in the central United States. I forget the name of them, but a very advanced little society sprung up there. And quite amazing. They had great irrigation, all of that kind of thing, and the water just kind of ran out after about maybe something like 50 years of no rain, and the society collapsed. It was like the ultimate mecca of the early American civilizations. And today, I find maybe that our future is tied inextricably to theirs because we value water so little and it's so precious to life itself that perhaps it translates into us not valuing life itself anymore.
Well, you know that's just it, Vinny. People don't care about anything. They're just, I don't care. That's the ultimate. I got a YouTube comment just a couple of hours ago from someone who's been laying into me. He just says, I don't care, I have a life. As if to say, because you care about any issues, you can't have a life. I just don't have friends. I didn't go out pheasant shooting on Friday night. I didn't go out last night with socializing. I have no life. Life meaning, life's a socialite term for getting drunk and laid, pretty much. It's a nihilistic, depravic lifestyle they call life. And because I have a life, I can't care about anything because I'm too busy recovering from hangovers. Piece of crap. That's seriously, and they don't care about anything. It's just like, well, water. Oh yeah, when I'm thirsty, I can have a can of Coke. If government gives me that freedom to have 50 different types of soft drinks. They're even taking the sugar out of them for me now. They love me so much. They're giving me aspartame.
Oh, they must be deeply concerned. Oh yes, I'm a yuppie, and the government loves me. You're listening to the Vinny Eastwood Show, 402-237-2525. Final segment, the fastest 2 hours in talk radio, coming next.